If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, in which we try to ask and answer some of the questions related to the Islamic laws based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before we embark on our episode, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of prayer based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Well, Sheikh Javid, let me start this episode with this question. Is it permissible or possible to offer one's prayer with two intentions? For example, to perform Shaf's prayers at midnight, both as the night prayer or Salat al-Layl and Ghada of the morning or Fajr prayers?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The question that you ask is very practical and very important. The religious authorities have explicitly stated that it's not permissible to perform a given prayer with two niyats, with two intentions. Now, like the example that you mentioned, like for example, that there are two rakats of prayer in which are offered as part of tahajjud prayer. Now, some may ask as to whether it's permissible to offer the two rakats of tahajjud prayer with multiple niyah. Like, for example, I have missed my Fajr prayer, my father has missed his Fajr prayer, and I want to also perform the Shafa prayer. So there are too many prayers with consisting of two units, okay? Mm. So can I combine all these prayers and put them in one prayer and then make the niyah on behalf of all of them? That's not permissible. So one prayer with one single prayer, a niyat, it cannot be performed with too many or with several or two niyats. That's not permissible, according to all religious authorities.
I see. Okay. Another question would be, Sheikh Javid, does the testimony concerning the wilaya of the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam, in the tashahhud invalidate the prayers?
This is also a very controversial question. Still, the controversy is going on in the Indian subcontinent. Unfortunately, many Shia Muslims debate as to whether it's permissible to recite the third testimony or Shahada Salisa in their prayers or not. Of course, the Shias are Shia Muslims, especially in the Indian subcontinent, are polarized around the very issue. Some recite the third tashahud, the third testimony. Mm-hmm. Others do not recite, saying that the religious authorities have not allowed. They are right. The religious authorities, the maraji, whom I know, have not permitted the recitation of the third testimony because, as I said in one of the previous episodes, it's not permissible to add to the prayer what's not part of the prayer. Mm-hmm. The third testimony is not a part of the prayer. None of the, you see, the religious scholars have ever said that it is part of the prayer. So it's not permissible to recite the third testimony, Ashhadu anna Aliyan Waliyullah, for example, as a part of the prayer or as a part of tashahud, because it's not. So, to put it in a nutshell, or to make a long story short, I would say that the religious authorities, including His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, may he live long, have stated that it's not permissible to add to the prayer what is not part of the prayer, which is, of course, tashahud, the testimony is not a part of the prayer. So mu'minin, the believers, should not recite it, and it's important that everyone should follow his own marja. Of course, all the religious authorities whose risala, whose treatise I have read so far, do not consider the third testimony of the prayer. So it's as part of the prayer. So it's safe, it's prudent, and it's precautionary to avoid reciting the third testimony, that the testimony which deals with the wilaya, with the guardianship and successorship of the third of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. Of course, we do believe that the wilaya is a very important concept in our teaching, but it doesn't mean that we should include it in our prayers.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break and we'll be back and continue the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Stay with us.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, yeah, Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Mohammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Tawhid, our guest and speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws about the prayer based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Well, Sheikh Tawhid, does the passing of the hands over the face, like wiping, after the qunut, invalidate the prayers? And if it is making the prayer void, is it considered to be a sin?
Well, Sunni Muslims, while raising their hands in the sky, and completing the dua, any dua, they wipe their faces. And Shia Muslims who live in such countries, in such places, are under the impression that it's okay to wipe your face after completing qunut, for example. But this is not recommended because it's not mentioned in any risala or any book of Islamic laws that such a practice is, for example, is recommended, because unless it's recommended, why should people do it? Okay, so the religious authorities have not permitted it. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that it will make the prayer void. So if you wipe your face after reciting the qunut, it will not impact your prayer. Your prayer will not be made void. Mm-hmm. Okay, but it's not a recommended practice either. So it's better to avoid doing it, because you're praying. You're not doing dua, of course. You are performing prayer. Of course, while doing qunut is a part of dua. It is a kind of dua that you perform, that you recite after completing the second rak'ah of your prayer, at the end of the second rak'ah, after reciting Ikhlas, Surah Ikhlas, for example, mm-hmm. you recite qunut. And qunut, of course, you can recite any dua, but it does not, it's not recommended to wipe your face, pulling your hands on your face.
I see. Sheikh Tawhid, I've seen some Muslims and some believers who are, in fact, offering their prayers with their eyes closed. And some of them keep their eyes open, right?
Yes.
So I just wanted to ask you whether it's permissible or is allowed to close one's eyes during the prayers. You know, mind you, sometimes, opening your eyes or keeping them open might distract, your attention too.
You're right. Well, scholars, the Maraji, have said that shutting your eyes or keeping your eyes shut is makruh during prayer.
Mm.
Yeah. So don't do it, Keep your eyes open while performing prayer. Okay, distracting your attention is something else. Okay, sometimes if you keep your eyes closed or if you shut your eyes, there's no problem. It will not render your prayers void. Of course, if you cannot concentrate, and if you close your eyes for a moment, there is no problem, but it's discouraged. It is important that you keep your eyes open and, of course, try to focus and concentrate during prayer as much as possible.
Right.
Yeah. So try to detach yourself from the worldly things, okay? If you, for example, if you're a businessman, if you're a shopkeeper, if you are running a business, try to detach yourself from worldly assets, from worldly gains, from anything that might entertain your mind, keep your mind busy. So, and in that case, you will be able to concentrate. Otherwise, there's nothing to ensure that you will be able to concentrate.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. just a bit. And thank you, my dear listeners, for joining us, in fact, on the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير